Welcome and thank you for standing by. I would like to inform all participants that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. Go ahead. You may begin.
Hello. My name is Keith Marzullo. I'm the Division Director for Division of Computer Network Systems and the Directorate of Computer and Information Sciences. And I'd like to welcome you to this webinar on our new program in cybersecurity. In May 2009, President Obama gave an address on securing the nation's cyber infrastructure. He released a report on a top-to-bottom review of the federal government's efforts in cybersecurity and announced that his administration would pursue a new comprehensive approach to securing America's digital infrastructure. He observed in his presentation that America's economic prosperity in the 21st century will depend on cybersecurity. One of the results of this address was a national-level focus on cybersecurity and the realization of the need to engage a broad set of researchers to maximize the impact of research and development on our cyber posture. The new NSF program in cybersecurity, Secure and Trustworthy Cyberspace, is one part of this effort. Secure and Trustworthy Cyberspace program, or SATSE for short, now includes support from more than just one director of the Computer and Information Sciences and Engineering. The Director for Social, Behavioral, and Economic Sciences has joined this program to support, for example, research and economic behavioral incentives. The Office of Cyber Infrastructure has joined support transition to practice research results, and the Director of Mathematical and Physical Sciences has joined to support the development of mathematical tools and methods in the area of cybersecurity. Today, you'll hear from program directors in each of these four directorates, Dr. Sam Weber of SAIS, Dr. Peter Muhlberger of SBE, Dr. Kevin Thompson of OCI, and Dr. Andrew Pollington of MPS, who will be describing together this new program. So I hope you find this webinar informative, and please do feel free to ask questions after their presentation. I'd now like to introduce Dr. Sam Weber.
Thank you for the introduction. As you can see from the agenda, after a brief overview of the program, we'll take an in-depth look at each of the program perspectives and touch briefly on some of the submission procedures. Frontier Awards are one of the new features of SATSE and deserve their own discussion. After that, we'll clarify some issues and finally take questions from you, our audience. Some of the goals of our program specifically, we fund research that aims to protect cyber systems from malicious activity while preserving privacy. Furthermore, because it's pointless to have a secure system which nobody can operate, we also need to take usability into account. Our field started with military applications where the situation was very clear-cut. We were attempting to defend our computer systems against people who were explicitly our enemies and were explicitly attempting to harm us. The solutions that we focused on at this time were primarily technological, building computer equivalents of better locks and better gates. The world now is very different and much more nuanced. Spammers, for instance, usually think of themselves as just honest business people who are selling useful products, even though as they hire botnets to send us a flood of email. We find ourselves having to defend our privacy from companies that we are doing business with. Going to the websites of major reputable companies can result in your computer being attacked by malware. Even our cars and medical devices have been shown to be vulnerable to cyber attacks. So it is clear that simple technological solutions cannot work. We have to consider not only whether their end users can safely use the systems that we build, but whether developers can successfully produce secure software. Now, what distinguishes our field from most others is they were attempting to defend our systems from other humans who are able to intelligently counter our actions. Physicists don't have to worry that subatomic particles are trying to deceive them, and traditional liability engineering concerns itself against random environmental effects, not intelligently targeted actions. This means that we face a constantly changing field, as malware authors do read and respond to our conference papers. As you can see, SATSE is our newest program in the long-standing NSF commitment to funding cybersecurity research. 10 years ago, in the 2002 financial year, NSF started the Trusted Computing Program. This program was limited to a single division in size, but after 2 years, it was expanded to the Cyber Trust Program, and then into trustworthy computing, which were cross-cutting programs throughout all of size. With SATC, NSF is once more widening the scope of the former trustworthy computing program and making it cross-directorate. The total NSF funding in cybersecurity is now over $100 million across various programs, including SATC, and has increased significantly since 2002. Unlike most other federal research agencies, the National Science Foundation operates in a bottom-up rather than top-down fashion. We issue very broad solicitations and fund the best ideas that the research community generates. As a program director, I view our role as similar to that of a gardener, not only selecting the best plants, but applying extra fertilizer to subfields which need assistance. We also know that academic research often has difficulty making it out of the ivory tower and into practice, and we wish to make this process easier. As I said earlier, past history has shown us that we cannot consider cybersecurity as simply a technical problem with technical solutions. Instead, we also have to consider human behavior, both individually and socially, and take into account how research will impact and be impacted by practice. Therefore, we have decided to make these aspects explicit by defining three perspectives: trustworthy computing systems, social, behavioral, and economics, and transition to practice. A proposal to our program must belong to at least one of these perspectives, but may involve all three. By doing this, we don't, by any means, want to discourage proposals that target just one particular perspective. Instead, we want to encourage researchers whose work crosses traditional disciplinary boundaries to engage with researchers with different backgrounds and expertise, and thereby enlarge and enrich the cybersecurity community. We strongly want to encourage this point. Trustworthy computing aimed to foster long-term cybersecurity research, and that is still our key objective. What we're trying to do is to widen our research base. We also want to emphasize that, although we do want to encourage multidisciplinary proposals to be credible, such a proposal will likely need a strong multidisciplinary team. A perspective which appears to be just simply tacked on will detract from the proposal and reduce its chances of success. The first of the SATC perspectives that we'll discuss is the trustworthy computing systems perspective. This perspective focuses on traditional computer science concerns and is very similar to the former trustworthy computing program. Despite the word systems in the title, approaches ranging from theoretical to experimental are in scope, as are the human-centric. Security, privacy, and accountability are considered, as are theories, models, algorithms, programming languages, hardware and software architectures, and evaluation frameworks. We not only fund research that will directly result in improved defenses, but we also fund work that aims to understand or measure the problem, such as investigating security and privacy trade-offs, or the effectiveness of various developmental methods with respect to security. Although work that in previous years would be submitted to trustworthy computing program is still relevant to the trustworthy computing systems perspective, we seek that a significant amount be able to be benefited by consideration of other perspectives that are now available under SATC. And now I'll turn the presentation over to Peter Mahlberger, who will discuss the SBE perspective.
The social, behavioral, and economic sciences, or SBE perspective in SATC, seeks to fund proposals that have the potential to enhance the trustworthiness and security of cyberspace and which contribute to theory or methodology of basic social, behavioral, or economic sciences. The NSF and prominent members of the cybersecurity community believe that cutting-edge SBE research will make an important contribution to cybersecurity. We encourage PIs to incorporate SBE research, perhaps in collaboration with SBE scientists who are experts in issues relevant to the research topic. The SBE perspective does not seek to fund research that simply applies existing SBE science research and methods to cybersecurity questions. Instead, research from the SBE perspective uses the domain of cybersecurity to explore, develop, or push the boundaries of SBE science. Proposals submitted to SBE will be evaluated based on their contribution to the SBE sciences and to cybersecurity. They will be reviewed by SBE scientists. Proposals that apply rather than contribute to the SBE sciences, such as human factors research, may fit into the trustworthy computing systems perspective. New SASE solicitation does not change or diminish what was possible under the old trustworthy computing solicitation. Good SBE science contributes to the basic SBE sciences by identifying generalizable theories and regularities and pushing the boundaries of our understanding of social, behavioral, or economic phenomena. We seek research that generalizes to a variety of domains, identifies the conditions under which generalizations hold, or provides an advance in SBE science methods. More inductive or interpretive approaches may contribute to the SBE sciences as well, especially if they set the groundwork for generalizable research or reveal broad connections. SBE SATSE proposals should clearly state and elaborate how the proposed research will contribute to the SBE sciences. Focus can be at any level or levels of analysis. Also, any SBE methodology can be used, including ethnography, field data, laboratory experiments, observational studies, simulations, and theoretical development, among others. Given the fledgling state of SBE science research and cybersecurity, we welcome proposals for workshops and other opportunities for intellectual engagements. Such proposals, however, should clarify how the efforts are likely to enable future SBE science contributions to cybersecurity. Infrastructure-oriented proposals should include components that also contribute directly to research. Research out the U.S. can be funded. SATSE SBE is primarily concerned with creating knowledge. This knowledge can be garnered outside the U.S. as well as inside, and it need not be focused on specifically American examples of cybersecurity challenges. If you have any questions about the SBE perspective, feel free to contact me at pmuhlber@nsf.gov. And now for the transition to practice perspective, allow me to introduce Kevin Thompson.
Thank you, Peter. Good afternoon. The transition to practice perspective supports later phases of a research and development life cycle, including applied research, prototyping, experimental deployment, and early adoption activities. Mission to practice complements basic research activities and the broad research agenda represented by the rest of the program. Proposals targeted to this perspective may build off existing and successful research results, further developing and realizing usable capabilities. Proposers interested in proposing into this perspective should carefully read the text found in the transition to practice perspective section of the program description, as well as the review criteria. Proposed activities in the transition to practice perspective should address how the work will impact the networks, systems, and other cyber infrastructure supporting the NSF research and education communities. In this sense, there's an emphasis on viewing end users as part of and members of the NSF community. Note also from the program description that proposals into this perspective are expected to describe goals and milestones. Other review criteria specific to this perspective include the expected impact on the deployed environment described in the proposal, the extent to which the value of the proposed cybersecurity research and development is described in the context of a needed capability required by science and engineering, and potential impact across a broader segment of the NSF community. The feasibility, utility, and interoperability of the capability in its proposed operational role. Project plan that addresses, in its goals and milestones, the demonstration and evaluation of a working system in the target environment. Tangible metrics described to evaluate the success of the capabilities developed and the steps necessary to take the system from prototype status to potential production use. Any software developed In this specific program area, the transition to practice perspective is required to be released under an open source license. For proposers planning to submit a small or medium proposal into one of the other two perspectives, there's also a supplemental funding opportunity available for these types of activities. And this is described under the transition phase section. Same themes and types of activities in the transition to practice perspective are found in the transition phase, but the phase applies only to proposals in the other perspectives. Phase option allows a proposer to address an additional part of work that carries their activities into development and deployment activities. Such proposals can submit as part of their supplemental documentation up to a 5-page description of this proposed phase. For such proposals, it is important to note that the material in the 5-page supplemental description will be evaluated and reviewed only for consideration for additional funding. Put another way, a proposal into the trustworthy computing systems or social, behavioral, and economic perspectives will be evaluated and reviewed along with other similar proposals as normal. For those proposals containing a transition phase, that material will not factor into the primary review of the proposal and will not factor into the final determination of the overall proposal. For such proposals receiving awards, a separate decision will be made on whether to fund the supplemental transition phase. If proposers have questions specific to the transitions to practice perspective or the transition phase, they're welcome to contact me directly at kthompso@nsf.gov. Now back to Sam.
Thank you. So, SATSE, as you are probably aware of, has three categories of awards: small, medium, and frontiers. Those of you who are familiar with the Trustworthy Computing Program or the size core solicitations are probably wondering what happened to the largest. The answer is simple. We've decided to supersize them. In the size directorate, large awards have a limit of $3 million, and we've replaced them with frontiers, or extra larges, which go up to $10 million. In other words, you can now propose projects that are more than three times the size of a large. Smalls and mediums remain the same, with small awards having a limit of 3 years and $500,000, and mediums up to 4 years and $1,200,000. And as usual, a researcher is not allowed to be a PI or co-PI of more than two SATSE proposals per financial year. So let's talk a bit more about frontier awards and what we want from them. In previous years, SIZE funded what were called center-scale projects, which were, like frontiers awards, larger than large. These awards are now ending or transitioning. We've been pleased with their success and therefore wish to fund more sizable projects. Here are three examples of what can be accomplished by a comprehensive effort. The CSI project set out to investigate large-scale internet-based pathogens such as botnets. They managed to passively monitor more than 1% of the routable address space so they could detect and observe how malware is behaving. So the most interesting research results that come out of the project were from an unanticipated direction. They've done significant work in understanding the economics of spam and how malware is monetized. This provides insights into the motivations and goals of the people behind current internet threats and how we might reduce or avoid these conflicts. The ACRA project investigated voting technology. They've had a large impact by discovering and preventing voting issues. Their work has necessarily been highly multidisciplinary, as they've had to consider usability not only for traditional users of technology, but for the entire voting population. They've also had to consider legal issues across the many conflicting jurisdictions in the country. The TCIFG project investigated the resilience of the power grid to cyber attacks and included building a testbed for power grid hardware and software. This project is now transitioned to being funded by the Departments of Energy and Homeland Security. It serves as a nice example of how NSF seeds basic long-term research that then transitions into application-based work supported by other entities. So, what we like to see in frontier proposals is a long-term vision which requires a cohesive effort that is not simply a collection of smaller activities. Such research could be multidisciplinary, but does not need to be. A successful frontier project could also be a deep, intensely focused effort on a single problem in a single discipline. However, frontier projects should take into account NSF's educational mandates and discuss how the proposed research results will be able to impact deployed systems. There is one procedural matter that we should mention here. A frontier proposal cannot be submitted solely to the SBE perspective. That is, although a frontier proposal can include the SBE perspective, the SBE perspective cannot be the only perspective. Because of the magnitude and effort required to write a successful frontiers proposal, we strongly advise researchers who are considering submitting such a proposal consult with a program director before submitting. And now, let's turn to Andrew Politik, who will discuss the contribution of the mathematical sciences to the program.
Thank you, Sam. Good afternoon. New mathematical and statistical methods offer possibilities of enhancing existing techniques used in security and the analysis and detection of threats. The Division of Mathematical Sciences is interested in proposals in all of the SATC perspectives. Number theory has been very successful in producing codes which, at least up to now, have proven difficult to break. What can mathematical and statistical tools might one employ to this end in the future? For example, can one provide a secure environment if a quantum computer is built? What mathematical and statistical tools would be useful in this area? Mathematics and statistics are the tools that can be employed in diverse areas where they were not previously considered to be of relevance. For example, over the past 10 years, topological methods have been employed to study the statistics of large data sets called topological data analysis, introduced by Gunnar Carlson at Stanford, where the topology of point clouds at different scales is analyzed through the use of topological invariants. Such methods have found application in a number of areas. Another place where one might look for tools is in the recent work done in mathematical biology on large networks, random processes, and stochastic modeling. So we ask, what statistical and mathematical tools can be brought to bear on the large data challenges of threat detection, in the modeling of networks, and in general, in aiding the making of a trustworthy cyberspace? Thank you. Back to you, Sam.
Thank you. Since our solicitation was published, we have received a number of questions. One of the most common questions is the relationship between SATC and the various directorate core programs and how a researcher should decide where to submit their proposal. This is a natural question because our research field naturally overlaps with many others. What you should do as a researcher is to consider the research field that your work will impact and not its motivation. For example, a secure networking proposal that uses standard security techniques but advances the field of networking should be submitted to the NETS program, not to SATC. A secure networking proposal that is suitable for SATC is one in which the security field itself is advanced. Similarly, a project that advances the field of program analysis to discover software bugs should not be submitted to SATC just because some bugs happen to be security bugs. On the other hand, a project which uses standard off-the-shelf program analysis techniques will be funded by SATC if it uses these techniques to make new contributions to system security or privacy. Now, we know that deciding between programs can be difficult, and NSF program officers can share or transfer proposals between programs to ensure the best merit review. However, we recommend that researchers consider carefully their options to ensure that the proposal does target the solicitation it is submitted to. Now, we've discovered that many proposals do not fare well in the review process because they have a common flaw, not making it clear what the problem they're attempting to solve actually is. SATSI's aim is to protect cyber systems. As I've already said, in the current world, it's not always clear the aims or motivations of the people we are protecting our systems against, or even if said people consider themselves to be our opponents. This situation makes it even more important, not less, when writing your proposal to clearly state what problem you are attempting to solve. Most proposed projects are attempting to defend systems against some threat, and it's important to make it clear what that threat actually is. What are the aims, motivations, and abilities of the people behind the threat? Are you defending against a nation state or against asocial teenagers? Are you being attacked by people attempting to transfer money from your bank account or to use your machine to send spam from? The traditional term for this is the threat model, which is somewhat misleading since threat models are typically informal. The idea, though, is that your proposed work can only be evaluated in relationship to the threat that you are considering. Making it this clear to the reviewers is important. Another topic we wish to discuss is international cooperation. Not only do attackers not respect international boundaries, but for various reasons, many centers of expertise are isolated geographically, and this hinders research. SATSI and NSF in general support international collaboration. Supplements are available that support international activities such as travel, visitors, and workshops. The situation is more complicated if a project needs to co-funding with a non-U.S. agency. Because we are a U.S. federal governmental agency, the general rule is that NSF will fund the U.S. participants and the other agency will fund participants from its own country. Arranging for proposals like this to be co-reviewed can be involved, so if you're thinking of submitting such a proposal, you should talk to a program officer about it as soon as possible. We set up a mailing list for SATSI, which we'll use to send infrequent notifications about events that might be useful to researchers in our community team. In order to sign up for this list, you should send email to listserv@nsf.gov with a message shown on the slide. Also shown here are the names and email addresses of all the SATSI program directors. If you have specific questions about the program, feel free to contact the program director whose research area is most relevant. And now, we'll take questions for audience. Operator, could you...
We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. Please unmute your phone and record your name at the prompt. One moment, please, while we wait for the first question. Our first question comes from...
Panayotis Karas.
Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yes, so my question concerns the question is about how the international cooperation and the interdisciplinarity are allowed to be mixed with each other. So is it advisable that one could have an international collaborator who offers the perspective, for example, of social and behavioral sciences, while the US-based collaborator is, for example, offering a computer science perspective? Is that allowed, or does an international collaborator have to be of the same discipline? My question.
Right. Yeah, certainly it is possible to do that. But once again, be aware that NSF generally is not able, by law, to fund international collaborators directly. Therefore, if you have to arrange cooperation from another non-U.S. agency, please let us know even before you submit the proposal so we can try to make the appropriate arrangements.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from...
Mike Ryder.
Go ahead. Your line is open.
Great. Do you anticipate allowing transition add-ons in years following the award of a proposal, for example, in the second year where it looks like there's a good opportunity to try to transition a technology to practice?
Mike, was the question specific to the transition phase?
Right. For these transition addendums to proposals that you were suggesting, could you do those in later years?
Right. That is one option. Again, it will be considered for supplemental funding only.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from
Victor Asal.
Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. This is a much more prosaic question. Is there a place where we can download the slides?
There will be.
Okay.
We'll be posted on the SIES website.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Once again, if you have a question, it's star 1 on your touch-tone phone and record your name at the prompt. One moment for the next question. Our next question comes from Gary Laffrey's line. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yes. Can you say a little bit about the review process in terms of what sorts of backgrounds reviewers will have? Will the reviewers of the SBE proposals be primarily from the social and behavioral sciences, for example, or what will they look like?
Yes. Reviewers for SBE proposals would be from the SBE sciences. Each proposal must be submitted with an indication of what the primary area is for that proposal. And once we know what the primary area is, then we will definitely have people on that component. And also any subsidiary areas, we will also get reviewers for that as well.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone and record your name at the prompt. One moment. We'll see if we get any more questions in. Once again, we have a question from Gary Laffrey's line. Go ahead. Your line is open, sir.
Thank you. I had understood that we were going to be receiving an FAQ list. Maybe it's been sent and I've just missed it, but has it been sent or is there one coming at some point?
There is one coming. It is currently going through the review process and so should be posted shortly. And we'll also send it to the SATC mailing list.
Our next question comes from
Victor Asal.
Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hi. This question is a little less prosaic. How risk-prone are you in terms of thinking about projects that could be very difficult to take out but aren't possible to test without resources?
Basically, NSF tries to fund transformative research. Basically, if certain percentage of our projects do not fail, we probably have not done a good job of selecting them appropriately. So as long as is the reward for the project is commensurate with the risk, that is what we mostly look at.
Great. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Bruce McMillan's line. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. The slides talked about focusing on cybersecurity, but what about security in areas of cyber physical systems? Not cyber, not physical separately, but the combined aspect?
Certainly. In fact, issues such as security of the power grid or medical devices or automobiles are fields in which we're actively hoping to receive submissions in.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Abu Kapadia's line. Go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. You said we could apply to multiple perspectives, yet we should pick one primary perspective. And I guess this is a more mundane question, but can we indicate the secondary perspective through the title? By putting the appropriate keyword, how would we indicate it easily?
I guess I got the privilege of looking really closely at that component of the proposal, so I'll try to answer here. The title of the proposal is supposed to list the perspectives from which that proposal comes. The first listed perspectives, so for example, if the proposal is an SBE perspective, you would put SBE first, and then a space, and then the next perspective. So let's say it's SBE and trustworthy computing, so you would basically put both. The first one is the primary, and then anything after that is considered secondary. So there's no explicit secondary for the second item. It's just all the rest are secondary to the primary perspective.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Our next question comes from Lakshmi Ramasamy. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yeah, partly my question was answered in the last response, but if we were to submit for the trustworthy computing, which is the CISE, should we also identify of the three that you have listed, networks and systems, theory and foundations, human-centric and artificial intelligence, should we identify that too, which is the most closest to our proposal?
No. Basically, just saying what perspective is sufficient. We don't really want to drill down any further, especially in the title of the proposal.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Roy Maxian. Go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, hi. I was a little confused by the due dates. So, for example, the small is due on January 11th, according to your slides. But I have some other announcement that says that something's due on January 4th. What is it that I'm confused about? I have an announcement from NSF that says
right.
January 4th.
I'm not sure where you're seeing the January 4th. The only thing I could think of is that each of the types of proposals actually has a window. So small projects, you cannot submit before January 4th, and the window, it closes on January 11th. So that's where you see the date.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Our next question comes from Dave Archer's line. Go ahead. Your line is open, sir.
Hi. I have a follow-up question regarding proposal evaluation. For submissions in the transition to practice perspective, what can you tell me about the background that those evaluators will have and how they might go about evaluating such proposals?
I'll give you a general answer. It's part of our job to bring experts from the community in as peer reviewers. And I think in that context, you can expect NSF to have as part of their peer review process people who have some level of experience and expertise as reflected in the review criteria for that perspective.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your phone and record your name at the prompt. Star 1 to ask a question. One moment. We'll see if we get any more questions in. Our next question comes from Andrew Komicki. Go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hey, hello. This is a question, again, about the perspective and the size of program. Is there a relation between a multi-perspective approach and the size of program? Basically, the question is, can we apply for the small type of project but using this multi-perspective approach, if our project has some kind of the double approach.
Okay, so let's understand And the question you're asking whether, you know, say, a small proposal can have multiple perspectives.
That is correct, yes.
Right. Certainly. The only thing to take into account is that if you have multiple PIs, make sure that each of them has an appropriate level of funding.
Great, thank you.
I am showing no further questions at this time.
Okay, then in closing, thank you very much for joining this webinar. We look forward to your participation in the SASE program. Thank you.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.